everyone. This is the Hoboken Grace Podcast. Whether you're in the car or enjoying a walk, we hope you're having a great day. Just like every weekly conversation, we hope today's message deepens your relationship with God and builds into your life in a helpful way. For access to our full podcast library, visit hobokengrace.com or our app.
Excellent. Well, good morning and welcome. For those of you who aren't familiar with our Grace Kids program, it is unbelievable what they do up there on the fourth floor. If you ever get the chance, just go see it because it will blow your mind. You see how they transform those classrooms and love our kids. It really is amazing. But as Brian said, welcome. Today's a special day for us here at Hoboken Grace. You probably know that already because you've seen so many jackets around and you walked in and said, do we switch churches? What happened here? And some of you were really upset because you walked in. You're like, I watched online for 7 weeks. No one ever wore a jacket. And then you came today for the first time and you're like, am I underdressed? I don't know. You're fine. You're fine. That's why Brian decided just to wear a polo, you know, and just go with that. But today's a special day for us as we come together, and we do this once a year where we bring our families together and we give them the opportunity to be able to dedicate their little ones to the one who loves them most. And in a little while, they're going to come up on stage and you're going to get to meet these little ones. But before we get there, what I want to do is I want to walk you through the commitments that they're going to be making, because we're going to ask them to make three commitments today as it pertains to their children or their child, and then we're going to make a commitment back to them. And so I want to walk you through them so that you understand, okay, what is it, what are these about, what drives this, and why do we think that this is so significant? And as I said, we're going to ask them to make three commitments. The first one is this: do you commit to raise your child as God's? What a special gift you've been given for a season. In other words, do you commit that this child is His and not yours, that this is something that you've been entrusted with? This is not something that you possess, but something that you are a steward of during this time. And there's a couple of pieces that go into this. Number one, God loves your child more than you do. God knows your child better than you do, and God has a better plan for your child than you do. And this one is really difficult for parents, because we have great plans for our children. We have incredible plans for our children. We know exactly what they're going to be and what they should be and what. And typically our kids, we have these plans long before they arrive. I mean, some of you don't have kids and you already have excellent plans for your kids. And you know the number of boys that you're going to have and girls that you're going to have. You know, my second son tells me all the time, I've got three little boys. He says, I'm going to have three boys and one girl because you didn't give me a sister. And he's very angry with us about that. We didn't know that he would be, but it's going to be counseling in the future, apparently. So, but he already has a plan for his kids and what they're going to look like and what this whole thing is going to be like, and we do that. We have these incredible plans, and then you end up not having a girl, or you end up having it, and all this begins to change, and then they grow up and they ruin all of your plans. It happens pretty quickly. For those of you who are new parents here and you're dedicating one that's really young, it will happen before two. All your plans will go out the window. And then you start to rebuild these plans. But the idea is, as you walk into this, and the commitment that they're making is, listen, I believe that God loves my child more than I do, which is an unbelievable statement to make, because you know how you love that child. You know how you love that child. But in Scripture, we're told that each and every one of us was meticulously created, that we were woven together in our mother's womb. We are meticulously and passionately created. Throughout this entire last series, we've been talking through this reality that you are created on purpose for a purpose, that there are things that God, before the foundation of the world, planned for you to do. And God says that He has very specially and intentionally created you. Guys, bring up that first verse. For whatever reason, I don't have it on my Kindle here, so just I want to walk through this first verse here. It says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully
complex. And this is David in the Psalms. He's talking about how God has created him. And as a parent, one of the most significant things that we recognize is that God actually loves our child more than we do. Which I just want to pause there for a second, because I want for all of us to soak that in. And whether it's a child that you have, or maybe it's the way that your parents have loved you, or maybe the way that you just observed a parent love a child and the way, what they'll do for that child, I want you to understand God loves you more than that. Don't just move past that. God loves you more than that. And I want you today, as you watch these parents and the way that they look at that child, and as they walk up here on stage and they're going to be holding them, you're going to be able to see it in their faces, the way that they love that little one. And they think they're the most amazing thing in the world. They think they're the most beautiful thing in the world, even though, like, all babies are pretty ugly. But it doesn't matter. Like, it's your baby, and so it's the most beautiful baby in the world. And you just, and some of you think, you're like, man, I'm kind of messed up. I don't think God really loves me. But God looks at you the same way. He's like, no, you're mine. And I created you this way. I knit you together. Like, don't miss this. And that's the way he looks at you. Can you just let that soak in today? Maybe you're here today for the first time. You've never heard that. You've been told your whole life that God's angry or upset, disappointed with you. God didn't send his son to give his life for you because he was angry, upset, or disappointed. He sent his son because that's how he looks at you. And he wants for you to know that and experience that. And what I want for you today, as you see those parents look at that child, I want for it to soak in just how much he loves you. But as a parent, we make this commitment that no, he knows them better, he loves them better, he has a better plan for them. The second commitment is this: do you commit to teaching and training your child to leave? Which is kind of a strange thing to say, that you're teaching your child to leave, but you understand. Again, this is something that I'm a steward of. I'm training them for the future. I'm preparing them for the future. And there's a lot of different ways that we look to prepare them for the future. As parents, there's all sorts of different ways that we look to prepare them for what's ahead. But I think when you come to Scripture, God is calling us to do a couple different things specifically to prepare them for what's ahead. And so maybe you hear these next three and you say, well, how does that fit into it? But we believe that you commit and teach your child to leave by, number one, putting your relationship with God first. Putting your relationship with God first, that you decide, no, I'm going to prepare them for the future. How? It goes back to everything that we've talked through for the last several weeks. I'm gonna prepare them for the future by living for his kingdom first. Because they cannot discover what they are alive for if they do not grow up to put his kingdom first. And we don't, as parents, just want to hand off to them things that are worth living for. No, we want for them to discover what they're alive for. And so we have to demonstrate this. This is something that you have to demonstrate to your child. You can tell your child that God should be first all you want. But priorities, listen to me. Priorities are never taught. They're always demonstrated. Don't worry. It's just that they're taking the parents back to get the kids. It's not that they all got mad at me and left, okay? But this has to be demonstrated. This can never be taught. And your child is constantly watching you to see what's actually important. And they're watching what gets priority. And when two things conflict with one another, which one goes first? Which one is it that you're going to go to every time? And if we're going to prepare them for the future, if we're going to help them discover why they're actually alive, we have to make sure that we're seeking his kingdom first. And last week we talked about this, and I shared with you the story. If you weren't here in person, I know you didn't get to watch it because we weren't able to share it online for security reasons. Yeah, that. And that was a loud alarm. That was impressive. But as we walked through that, we talked about the reality that some of you need to go. We talked about what it looks like to seek his kingdom first. But I want to say this because afterwards my wife came up to me and she's like, yeah, some of them need to go, but you need to talk to those who need to stay. And the reality is that that's the truth. If we're going to, listen to me. Your kids need to see you choose serving more than they need a two-car garage. They need to see you make decisions based on the mission of Jesus. And they're watching how you make those decisions. And if your decision is made based on their education, more than it is based on the mission of Jesus, I understand the priority. I get it. Priorities are never taught. They're always demonstrated. Your kids do not care what you say about priorities. They just watch how you make decisions. And for some of you, the reality is that God's brought you here on purpose. And I say it all the time about Hoboken. These are my people. You are my people. And the reality is that God has, I believe that God has people that he has intentionally created for every single one of us to impact. And for some of you, God didn't just bring you here so that you could take the next step in your career. God didn't just bring you here so that you can enjoy the city life for a little while. God brought you here because he's trying to tell you, no, these are your people. And these are the people that I want for you to give your life for. These are the people that I want for you to invest in. And your kids need to see you making the decision. No. Are there difficult things about living here? Absolutely, there are difficult things about living here. But kids, we don't make the decision based on what's easy or what's not. We make the decision based on the kingdom of God. And we have an opportunity to be a light here in the midst of darkness. And so that's why we're going to be here. As we move through this past year, I've experienced two incredible things. My son got baptized a couple weeks ago, but one of the other ones that most people don't know about is the person who oftentimes now runs these slides on this TV is my other son, my oldest son. And he began to serve a couple months ago and walked through shadowing and all that. And I remember after the first day when he was serving by himself, he came home and he said, Dad, it's one of the best days of my year. I just felt like God was using me. Listen to me. You don't teach your kids that. They're watching. And they're saying, okay, what gets priority? What goes first? And if we're going to teach them and prepare them for the future, we have to teach them to live for his kingdom first. Number two, putting your marriage second. Your child's entire understanding of love is based on your marriage. And so you decide, no, I'm going to put my marriage second, and I'm going to make sure that I'm investing in it. I'm going to make sure that it's a priority to me. Don't miss this, because the next one is putting your child third. So I'm putting my relationship with God first, putting my marriage second, putting my child third. I'm going to put my marriage above my child. You say, wait a second, what are you talking about? Why would you put something above your child? Because of the fact that your child needs, their entire understanding of love is based on this relationship. And listen to me, there's nothing your child is going to try to destroy more than your marriage. And there's nothing your child needs more than your marriage. That's not true. He needs to see you live this out. But there's nothing else outside of this that your child needs more than your marriage. And they are going to try to take all the time that they can away from your marriage. But you've got to decide, no, we're going to invest in this. No, we're going to pour into this. We're going to... And here at Hoboken Grace, we're constantly trying to help you with this. If you're struggling with this, we have something called Reengage. It's incredible. You can look on our growth events calendar, see when it's going to be launching again. But I'm going to make sure that I'm investing in my marriage, and then I'm going to put my child third. Now notice, it says I'm going to put my child third, not sports. I'm going to put my child third, not my career. I'm going to put my child third. We're going to prepare them to leave by demonstrating priorities. And then number three, do you commit to creating a safe place for your child to meet Christ by being humble and growing in Christ yourselves, by welcoming rebuke when you are wrong, and by being the same people in public as you are at home? When I was growing up, one of the things that I never wanted to do is I never wanted to become a parent. And one of the reasons why I never wanted to become a parent is because my dad is one of the best parents I've ever seen. Incredible. Like, my mom and dad are phenomenal parents, unbelievable parents. And me and my sisters are still screwed up. Like, we're still pretty screwed up. And so I used to think, if you can parent that well and your kids are still screwed up, I have no chance. And my kids are going to be really screwed up. I really did. That's the way I thought. Now, this is why I say this. Listen to me. Your kids don't need to see you be perfect. Your kids need to see you experience grace. And one of the most significant things in your kid's life is that you're the same, that it doesn't change who you are in public or that you're at church or at home, that it's always the same and that you're open and honest about who you actually are, and this is it. And for you to be able to, for them to see that you're not perfect, because if they only see the perfect, and sometimes we do this in marriage too. I'll meet people that say, I don't want to get married. Why? Because my parents, I can't do what my parents did. Well, you just didn't see what happened behind the closed door. And don't take that the wrong way. Don't just go fight in front of your kids all the time. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is this. They need to see that you're not perfect. They need to see your willingness to go to God in the midst of your brokenness so that you can experience grace and forgiveness. Because that's what's going to teach them how to do the same thing as well. And so they make the commitment to creating a safe place. And then, as I said, not only are we asking them to make these commitments before us, but then we're also going to make a commitment back to them, because as these parents take this step, they understand they can't do this alone. They understand there's no way that they can do this alone and that they need all of us to be in this together. And so as a church, we're going to make this commitment back to them. Hoboken Grace commits to create a safe church family, number one, by joining together to fight gossip and broken relationships in our church family. We understand that there's nothing, for some of you, you left church a long time ago. This is the first time you've been back in a long time, because you grew up in a church where people were really nice to one another when they were talking to one another, and then behind closed doors, something completely different happened, and you said, this isn't real, and you were right. But we need to make sure that that's not true of us, and constantly working to fight that. And that's not just something that as a staff we do, that's something as a family we do. And so as someone comes to you and they begin to talk about something, you say, whoa, you need to go talk to that person. And you don't stop gossip by just not gossiping. You stop gossip by not receiving it. Number two, by admonishing each other when we're wrong. It's not just that as parents we acknowledge when we're wrong. We acknowledge when we're wrong by welcoming and rebuke when we're wrong as a church, and the reality that we're going to make mistakes. And there have been times in the past, there'll be times in the future when I've had to stand up here and say, listen, we blew it. And that's critical, because there's a huge mistake that the church has made historically, and they've thought that the message of Jesus was best served by perfection. And so they constantly sought to put on a facade of perfection. And they thought, if we're going to show the world how great the message of Jesus is, then we have to show them that we got it right. And so they put on a facade and they would hide things.
They try to make it look like everything's great, everything's great, everything's great, everything's great. And behind the scenes, it wasn't. And eventually that came to light. But the massive mistake was believing in the first place that the message of Jesus was best served by perfection. It's not. The message of Jesus isn't about perfection. It's about grace and forgiveness. And when we as a church embrace that and say, no, 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 the message of Jesus isn't best served by that we've got it always right. The message of Jesus isn't best served by the fact that, man, look at Hoboken Grace. They got it right. No, no, we don't. The message of Jesus is best served by the recognition that we're all broken and in need of a Savior. And when we do that as individuals and do that as a church, it best communicates the most amazing thing about Jesus' love, which is that he welcomes those in the midst of their mistake. And so we make the commitment to do the same ourselves. And then, finally, by showing the authentic love that Christ has for each of these children. And this is one of the reasons why, as you look at this, this is one of the reasons why we actually purchased the space that we purchased on 14th Street. Because we wanted to be able to do more for the little ones who are part of our community. And as our youth group vibe and the quad is growing, we want to be able to love them better. And so this is the commitment that we're making back to them. And as we walk through this, this is a special day, a special moment, but we wanted for you to be able to know what these commitments are before they make them, and to know the commitment that we're asking you to make back to them. We'll be right back.